My most loving salutations at the divine lotus feet of our dearest and sweetest beloved Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Swami, it is you who is our truest guide and brightest light, and it is you who is the beginning, middle, end, and rejuvenation of all things. May you continually bless all of us by being the divine charioteer behind all of our thoughts, words, and deeds. Distinguished guests, respected elders, fellow young adults, dear brothers and sisters, Om Sri Sai Ram. By way of introduction, my name is Satish Shinsiva, and I reside in New York, USA. With Swami's grace, I currently serve as Zonal Young Adults Coordinator, the Zone 1 of the Satya Sai International Organization. It is my honor and utmost pleasure to welcome each and every one of you officially to the second day of our first ever Go Green Conference, held right here in the supreme abode of peace itself, Prashanthi Nilayam. My special welcome to each of the 1,200 delegates joining us here in person today from all corners of the globe, and to those of you from all over this divine Mother Earth who are joining us virtually via live stream. Dear brothers and sisters, this has truly been an enlightening and galvanizing conference thus far. I must admit that I did not truly realize the extent to which man today has damaged Mother Earth before I took part in the offerings leading up to and off this very sacred event. I'm sure I speak for all the delegates when I say that having been a part of day one, I am now heartened to do my part in breathing new life back into our Mother Nature. And no doubt, this very inspiration and call to action is coming to us directly from our Divine Master himself. Indeed, from the inspiring videos, dynamic guest speakers, amazing panel discussions, and engaging study circles, what has truly separated this Go Green Conference has been the spiritual foundation directly grounded in our dearest Lord's teachings. I am now delighted to share that we will have three esteemed guest speakers who will share their words of wisdom on going green during this morning's program in Sai Kulwant Hall. Our first speaker is Mr. Manfred Mueller Granzi. After studying English, science of sport, pedagogy, philosophy, and later on business administration, Manfred Mueller Granzi graduated from the University of Brunswick as a secondary school teacher in 1981. He worked as an assistant professor at the Institution of Science of Sport at the University of Brunswick and as a secondary school teacher before he decided to quit as a government employee and to found an institution for management training and consulting in 1988. He was a self-employed trainer and consultant for 17 years before he purchased a medium-sized recycling company in 2005. For 13 years, he has run this recycling business for electronic waste as CEO together with a partner. Mr. Mueller Granthi came to Swami for the first time in 1989. Since then, he is a member of the SSIO and served in different functions as a National Coordinator for Devotion and National Council President for Germany. From 2011 onwards, he serves as the central coordinator for Region 71 in the countries of Germany, Austria, Czech Republic, Hungary, and Slovakia. In addition, he is the chairman of the PsyCare Foundation in Germany. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Mr. Manfred Müller Granzi to the front.
I offer my most humble and loving salutations at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Lord Sri Satya Sai Baba. Respected elders, distinguished trustees of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, members of the Prashanti Council, directors of the Satya Sai World Foundation, honorable delegates and guests of the running conference, dear brothers and sisters, to all of you, a fresh and loving Sai Ram. So heartily welcome back to either those of you who participated in the nature walk this morning, or those of you who preferred the nature of sleep for another 2 hours. Finally, to all of you, to the second day of this Go Green conference. Nature, the vesture of God. This is what I'm supposed to talk about today. Brothers and sisters, let me approach this topic from two different angles, both of them referring to our beloved Lord Satya Sai. Who am I? This was not only the imprint on a T-shirt of a devotee who came across my way when I came here to the ashram this morning. It is, of course, also one of the very spiritual questions we have to deal with. And for me, it is a very practical question this morning. Who am I on this auspicious occasion of the second day of the very first Go Green conference in this holiest of all holy places, Prashanti Nilayam, to talk to you? What can I say after we have listened to the sweet words of our Master in his numerous discourses that has not already been said by him? I can only think of two aspects that might be appropriate. First, our personal experiences and how we managed to transform what we have learned from him into our daily lives. And second, what we are willing to do in future in order to fulfill his glorious mission. So let me briefly tell you about my personal connection to this topic, Go Green and environment. I myself came to Swami 29 years ago. At that time, I was working as a management trainer, and from the moment on when I was in contact with his teachings, I had the vision of running a company based on the 5 human values: truth, right conduct, peace, love, and non-violence. But obviously, it needed some more preparation. And as I must have been a difficult pupil, in my case, it needed another 15 years of training by Swami. Those of you who are fond of mathematics might have calculated already that then, 14 years ago, there suddenly was the chance to invest my money and to purchase an existing recycling company specialized on electronic waste together with a friend of mine being also a Sai devotee. Of course, this meant to take all my lifetime earnings and to invest them into this new business. So the night before the final decision had to be taken, I asked Swami, as I usually do, for his help without getting an immediate answer. But the following night was one of the very rare ones where Swami came into my dreams. And imagine how he answered my question. The moment I woke up out of this dream, I had this picture clear and bright in front of my eyes. There was the main building of the respective company, and on its rooftop, it said in huge green neon letters, Recycling. And of course, Sai was written with the letters S-A-I. No question that I run this business now in his name and based on his values. God, nature, and man. Nature, the vesture of God. What have we learned and heard so far? When you visit the Go Green exhibition, what I recommend you should definitely do, because there you will find this topic and much more and much deeper elaborated other interesting contents. You will find right at the beginning a beautiful sentence. God separated himself from himself to love himself. So our only goal for this lifetime is to realize, to experience, and to manifest that we are God. Unfortunately, man has forgotten his source and his relation with God. Therefore, Swami says, you have to realize that nature is a manifestation of God. Hence, nature should not be ignored. Nature is the effect, and God is the cause. You should recognize the immanence of the divine in the entire cosmos. So one goal of the Go Green Conference is to raise our awareness to the ultimate truth that nature is the manifestation of God, and that nature is a supreme teacher for us to recognize who we really are, to discover our spiritual basis, and to re-identify with God in nature and all living beings. And honestly, whoever experienced with all his senses the moment when birth was given to a living being, maybe an animal or a human being, whoever felt this little heart beating from the very first second on, whoever planted a little seed in the earth and watched a huge tree coming out of it, who of those might doubt that the driving force behind these miracles is nothing else but the love of God? Therefore, Swami continues, nature is God's vesture. The universe is the university for man. Man should treat nature with reverence. He has no right to talk of conquering nature or exploiting the force of nature. He must proceed to visualize in nature is God. And brothers and sisters, time is running short. What have we done in the past 2,000 years of Christian culture where I was born? Man has been abusing the natural elements. We have polluted the air, the water, and the soil, with the result of imbalance in nature with grave consequences. Let me just name some of the major examples. Some 6.5 million people annually die because of poor air quality. Every year, at least 1 million people are poisoned by excessive exposure to inappropriate use of pesticides. In the time since 1990, the world has lost 1.3 million square kilometers of forest. This is an area larger than South Africa, which means 1,000 football fields of forest every single hour. And finally, between 4.8 and 12.7 million tons of plastic waste enter our oceans every year. And this plastic forms new continents of garbage that poison every living being in the water and on land. Some of the consequences have become obvious in the past few years to us. There is the climate change. There are the various natural disasters like floods, droughts, and other calamities that threaten our lives more than ever before. So what is the way out? Fortunately, man has not only the power to disrupt the natural order, but we have also been given the knowledge and the technology to turn the key around and open the door to a life in balance with nature and in unity with God. So, what is the solution? Swami himself gave us some easy, accessible, and most efficient tools. First, living our lives according to the innate five human values of truth, right conduct, peace, love, and nonviolence. Second, practicing the program of sailing on desires. And third, fulfilling the utmost of his divine commandments. Love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. Just imagine for 1 second that all of us would really only follow these three. What a tremendous impact that would have. And it is not that nothing has been done in the past. When I look at the activities of the Satya Sai International Organization done worldwide in the groups and centers, such as planting tree projects, solar projects, projects of cleaning the environment, and the many educational activities creating awareness, when I look at the initiatives of the young adults that have been taken under the umbrella of the program Serve the Planet, when I look at the initiatives of the Trust and the Indian, all Indian Satya Sai Seva organization, Brother Nimish is going to give us some insights later, then I'm quite sure that we are on the right path. That the SSIO might be an exemplar for creating harmony between man and nature. Or, as Bob Randall, an Australian elder Aboriginal, says, the purpose of life is to be part of all that there is. We are connected to everything else, and the proof is being alive. You are one with everything there is. So what can we do on our way forward? Still, there is a long way to go. Therefore, let me come back to the two questions I mentioned in my introduction already. What can we do on a personal level to transform what we have learned into our daily lives? And what can we do in future in order to carry on Swami's mission and fulfill our responsibility? Let me tell you my personal example. When I was in Prashanti for Swami's birthday last year, I once more was impressed by the selfless service the doctors and volunteers were doing in the medical camp here in the ashram. By the way, whereas we are sitting here, they are serving again. And I have to admit that I envied them a little bit, that I was jealous for them being able to offer their profession and what they are anyhow doing every day as a service to Swami when they come here to Prashanti. So I lay in bed in the evening and I was thinking about the question what I could offer. And the result is a new global project of the SSIO embedded in the activities of the young adults, where we are going to collect old and out-of-use mobile phones all over the world and professionally recycle them. And doing this, we will be able to keep away electronic waste from landfills or improper recycling. We will be able to recover materials such as precious metals and plastics. We will conserve energy and natural resources. We will raise the awareness on the principle of the four R's: refuse, reduce, reuse, and recycle, and the program of sealing on desires. And that might just be one example of what every one of us can do on a personal level. But what can we do to carry on Swami's mission? How can we raise the awareness of the world around us, especially concerning the relationship between God, nature, and man? Now, let me share a vision with you. And you know, you have heard already that sometimes my dreams and visions come true. According to what the Holy Bible says, God created this world in 7 days. Mankind has now taken the last 2,000 years in order to destroy it. So, do we need another 2,000 years for going this way back home? I do not think so. Just imagine. Let's say here in Prashanti Nilayam, we are gathered today with about 10,000 people. What if each of you would go out tomorrow and talk to one other person that did not attend about what you have learned here? Then tomorrow we would already be 20,000 people being aware of God, nature, and man. And now imagine we would go on like this. Then on the day after tomorrow, we would already be 40,000, right? And so on. What do you think how long it takes until every human being on this one Mother Earth is involved? I will solve for you. Mathematically, it only needs about 19 and a half day. Imagine, not only 3 weeks. Yes, I know. This vision is probably a little bit too optimistic. And not everyone might be willing to follow you. But nevertheless, let me try to encourage you to take at least 3 things with you out of this holy place of Sai Kulwant Hall. First, the definite awareness that you are God and not different from God. Second, that it is you, each single one of you, who has to undertake at least one concrete step towards a rebalanced relation between God, nature, and man. That you have to take action. And third, dear brothers and sisters, that we might be able to reach our goal when you share Swami's message with at least 19 and a half other people and convince them to do the same. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Mr. Manfred Mueller Gransey, for that very timely and inspiring talk, reminding us that nature is the vesture of God. It is now my honor to introduce our next esteemed speaker for today, and that is Sri Nimesh Pandya. Sri Nimesh Pandya is the All India President of the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization, India. He is an advocate at the High Court of Bombay and heads the law firms of Pandya & Co. Mr. Pandya is the chairman of Pandya and Jurist LLP, an international law firm specializing in taxation and media law. Mr. Pandya is presently a trustee of the Sri Satya Sai Trust of Maharashtra. He is also a member of the National Board for Sri Satya Sai Schools in India. Mr. Pandya has been actively involved in the Sri Satya Sai Bal Vikas program for many years and has been associated with the Satya Sai Education in Human Values program since its inception. He is a prolific speaker, a dramatist par excellence, and has directed several ballets and dramas with children and youth. Dear brothers and sisters, please join me in welcoming Sri Nimesh Pandya to share some words on environmental initiatives in India.
Om Sri Sai Ram, offering our most humble salutations at the Divine Lotus Feet of our most beloved Master, and offering a prayer to him on behalf of all present here today, that he grants us the strength to act on everything that he has asked us to act. Respected Dr. Reddy, my colleague in the organization, where we both promise to dream of one world and one organization. And I think this conference is one more step in that direction, where India and the rest of the world come together to address this issue that we are facing today. I congratulate Brother Satishan Shiva for doing a great job, and thank you very much for introducing me. And I'd like to begin with by saying, on a very positive note, to let all environmentalists worry and fear. But in this Prashanti Nilayam, let us have the courage and conviction that as long as the blessing of Bhagwan Shri Sat Sai Baba is there in this world, the world will always remain green and forever and ever again. I'm grateful to Manfred. Manfred, you've done a great job. Set my ball easy. Because your name itself is great inspiration. Man, fret. Man, do not fret, because there is nothing to worry when the sai is there. And that's what the crux of what Manfred told us today morning. And I continue that today. My role is difficult because the topic indicates that I'm like an anchor on a television screen giving you a report of what's happening in India. But I was also introduced as a dramatist, therefore let me create a scene for you. As I understand from my background of being the All India President and a person involved in Bal Vikas, the ethos of the Sai organization is the answer to all problems. Transforming self to transform the world is the mandate of Bhagwan Shri Sat Sai Baba. And that's where the solution lies. The beautiful world created by Bhagwan, the five elements. God created the entire cosmos. The beautiful video that we saw yesterday in the Purnachandra. The lovely five elements. And in the Indian tradition, the elements are not elements, they are divine. Akashaya namaha, Vayuye namaha, Agniye namaha, Jalaya namaha, Prithviye namaha. Every five element is a divine manifestation, as even Manfred mentioned. Five elements, a beautiful world, and God said, I have nobody to enjoy. Let me create somebody to enjoy this and understand the manifestation of the five elements. So he created man with the five senses. So we have the five elements, the five senses. And there ought to be a balance. He told man, go down, enjoy yourself, this beautiful world. But remember that the five senses have to be under control and a balance. He gave the mind through which the five senses can enjoy the beautiful creation. But he also gave the conscience and told man that, look, I am there right inside you. Every time you want to use your senses, I am going to guide you from inside. and tell you how much is enough. Man agreed to do this and came down on earth. But as he came on the earth, the war between the mind and the conscience begins. The mind created the desires. And at one stage, man decided to tell God, shut up in the conscience and tell the mind, go ahead and do what you want. And that's the environmental issue that we have today. But every time man wants to use the five elements and enjoy it, there is a voice of conscience that guides man from inside and tells him, don't do this, or do this. But man chooses to ignore this every second of his life and every breath of his life. And that's where the mandate of Bhagavan Sri Satyabha comes. The connection between divinity within and the manifestation outside through the instrumentality of the mind is the crux. And Swami said, the five human values, the Trinity, five elements, five senses, and five human values is the saga, is the problem and the solution both in its own way, dear brothers and sisters. I remember once, yesterday Mr. Mehta was here, I remember another legal luminary in India, and he was speaking in the context of India, and his name is Nani Palkhivala, one of the constitutional doyens of this country. He once said, in the context of environmental, of India, is there a crisis of water in India? He says, no. There is enough water in India to quench the thirst of the whole world. He says, is there a crisis of food in India? He says, no. There is enough food in this world, in India, that we can feed the hunger of the entire world. Is there enough knowledge, enough edge? Yes, everything is there. There is no crisis in India. But what he said and identified is that there is a character crisis in mankind in India in this context which he said. And brothers and sisters, character as defined by Bhagwan is nothing but unity of thought, word and deed, where man learns to increase the volume of his conscience. See that the conscience dominates the mind and mind acts in terms of the conscience, and action is conscience, mind and the action is unified. And that's where the secret lies. That's where sadhana lies. That's where the Satyasai organization lies. The foundation of the Satyasai organization is this unity of character. And therefore it is not surprising that if this issue of save the planet, go green, is to be addressed, the members of the Satyasai organization all over the world are the most qualified to take this action up and see that the world comes to sanity. Because here we are not dependent upon CSR or corporate social responsibility. Here we have the strength of individual social responsibility, where the mandate of Bhagwan is that you put into practice what is required, and once you do what is to be done, the rest will follow, is the beauty of the message and the strategy of Bhagwan Sri Satsai Baba. It is in this context, brothers and sisters, that we must understand what we need to do, and the program of sealing on desires that Manfred mentioned is very, very important. I understand that the strategy in India and so far all over the world is very, very clear. That each one of us, the millions who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Sri Satsai Baba, are not expected to improve somebody else. Are expected that you and I personally do what we have to do in our personal day-to-day life. And it is when we put into practice what we need to do, then what Manfred's mathematics comes to fore. It multiplies geometrically. By sheer inspiration, not by communication of a kind of verb. It comes very naturally as we go further down the line. It is very interesting to note, my back end tells me that each man has an individual social responsibility in the sense that, taken some statistics from some of the magazines I understand from India, he said that each one of us is responsible for 2,610 kilograms of carbon dioxide each year. And each one of us is responsible over 70 years to contribute 181,700 kgs in a lifespan of 70 years. And therefore, if you reverse it back, each one of us on a daily basis is supposed to be planting a tree every week or every day. We're supposed to be planting a tree just to balance what we are spoiling. Now, that is the context in which we are really coming up as far as the system is concerned. We that for water, the kind of water that we take up. And therefore, it's important as a Sai organization that individually we will recognize there are some resources which are not regenerative. And some Abhishek can be regenerated is something that we need to understand. What we can't regenerate, we have to be neutral to it and ensure that we don't pass it on. And Bhagwan was the best example. Closing the light in the interview room before he came out, closing the fan, ensuring that when he's shaving, he's not putting too much water. I understand even when he's to shave and the soap is to come on the razor, he's to tap slowly so that it comes out, so less water is used to clean the razor. This is the magnanimity and the personal example of Bhagwan Shri Satsai Baba. The question is, in our homes, in our day-to-day life, are we going to put this into practice? Is the real essence? Programs and plans will be successful only if we change and we put into practice individually what we need to do. And therefore, I think the focus is more on individual responsibility that we take into the system. Well, in India, we have two-dimensional approach as we go further. One is, yes, as Manfred said, there is a need to educate and make people aware. That's what we are planning to do, and we are already on the job. And next is the service projects and the activities that we come up. In India, we have the advantage of numbers. And therefore, things become easy, things become relatable, and manifestation is faster. Swami's grace reaches people faster. If you take the span of the Indian organization, we have 500 districts, 5,000 samitis, 1,000 villages where we operate upon, 6 lakh Sevadal volunteers and members, 900 schools in which we operate in India, and 5 lakh Balvikas parents and children. And therefore, this resource which is available to us in India is a tremendous resource that we work on. Well, we have awareness camps as far as the waste management and plastic pollution, which is important because this must become a part of day-to-day life in action, that we don't use plastic or use it in a small way. We have trees and plants and cover, which we want to ensure, energy conservation, water conservation. Organic farming is a big way with us. In fact, in the Indian organization, we have a special wing on technology, which helps us to ensure that we use technology in the rural areas to ensure that the environment and the ecosystem is preserved. And this technology team is a very, very active team since last more than 10 years that it has been active in this subject. Well, I think in the last 1.5-2 years, with Swami's grace and blessings, the Indian members of the organization throughout the country, I think probably have crossed 3 lakh plantation of trees in the year that went by. And the very unique thing that they've done is to ask for seed balls, that we create the seed balls, and we are motivating school children and people to plant those seed balls wherever they go in the hope that somewhere when the monsoon comes back, these seed balls will fructify into plants and get into the system as we have there. The Satya Sai Vidya Jyoti program, which is 900 schools, the children of these schools are being motivated to embark upon this seed ball plant that we have. In India, there are 2 important programs that we conduct in the year. The one is now, which starts on the 2nd of October every year, which is called, in Hindi, it is called Swachhata Se Divyata Tak. If translated into English, it is called Cleanliness to Godliness is the concept. It is in this program when the entire country, not that it doesn't do on a daily basis other parts of the year, but in this particular month, there is a very focused and concentrated effort on cleanliness, environment exchange, on ensuring that awareness goes through all the schools, through all the 100 Satya Sai schools, 900 Vidya Jyoti schools, and all the samitis and the entire organization embarks upon this situation for a whole month from 2nd October, which is Gandhi Jayanti, to the declaration of avatarhood by Bhagwan Shri Satsai Baba. This 1 month is focused on this whole issue. Probably now, on a 25% reporting, because in India, though we are the technology kings, but when it comes to reporting ourselves, we are very poor. I only get 25 to 30% feedback on what happens. But even as a 25 to 30%, I tell you, we have crossed more than 3,75,000 man-hours of people who work towards cleanliness and create the situation. And this is only 25% of my reporting, because I'm very poor. Today, in the last 3-4 years, probably we've clicked 1.2 million man-hours in the last 3-4 years that we've done. There's another unique thing, the consciousness, which I'm giving this example is more to share with you, how the devotees in India are conscious of their responsibility towards the ecosystem. There is a place called Darjeeling in Bengal, West Bengal of the western part of India. Darjeeling has a road from the foothills, which is Siliguri, which goes up to Darjeeling. It's around 32 odd kilometers. It's a hilly road which goes winding up all the way. And Darjeeling is a hill station. and very subject to landslides and eco destruction. You can imagine more than 3,500 sevadal of Darjeeling district. Every year before the monsoon comes, they take upon themselves to clean the entire stretch of 35 kilometers so that the water channels are clear and there are no landslides happening in this entire system. And that is the beauty of the Darjeeling city that we have. And this is very unique. It is to be seen, to be believed when you go there. Women, children, men, lined up to 32 kilometers up and down, doing this work so that the hill doesn't have landslides and there are no issues. We have great riverbeds in India, and I think the desilting of riverbeds and the revival of water bodies is being undertaken in a big way in different parts of the country, if you go to see as we go down. Rainwater harvesting. In a state of Maharashtra, we have succeeded. 75 villages have successfully completed rainwater harvesting projects, by virtue of which the water tables have come up to a normal level, that now there are no issues with water in those 75 far-flung villages in Maharashtra as we go by, as the system goes by. The latest example is the month of May 2018. I don't know whether the slide is on up or not, but it is a pond in a village in Maharashtra. 8 lakh liters of water is now, because of halfway down the monsoon, the water is stored for that village in that thing, the two sisters, before and after. You see the screen, if at all you are able to see that. That's the thing. It's May 2018 is the impact that we see as far as it's concerned. In short, brothers and sisters, what really bends down for all of us together is throughout the world and through all countries, we have the grace of Bhagwan with us and we have his blessings. We understand that we are divine, as all of us is telling us. But that divinity, what does it mean? It means that sadhana on a day-to-day basis, where every day you ensure that your voice of conscience, which is the voice of Swami, is so loud in its volume that it constantly guides our mind to tell us and do what is right. Because it's easy at a conference like this to make resolutions, to take actions, to do everything. But moment you go home and open the tap of water in your house, the moment you go home and there's garbage in the house, the moment you go home, that is the whole concept of food, water, knowledge and energy. Let me tell you, back-talking and gossiping is equally dangerous to the environment as much as wasting water is. And that's what Swami has told us, and we need to be aware of this. Therefore, water, food, energy and knowledge are all four factors that may be integrated in our day-to-day life as practice. And once we do that, let us not forget the other maxim when God told us that you are not the doer, I am the doer. You make yourself as pure as you can so that I can use you to do what I want to do, is a real test for the Sai organization to understand. And that's the promise that we need to make ourselves, that it is not saving the planet, brothers and sisters, it is saving ourselves. The planet will remain. The five elements may lose their balance, but the five elements will always remain. It is you and I as man who will perish, and that's the situation. And God loves us so much that he doesn't want us to perish, because we are his prime creation. And all we need to do is to ensure that his sankalp wins, and to make his sankalp win, we need to improve ourselves. And I think that is what we all need to do. I think with these few things, I congratulate all my young adults from all over the world, including India, that together we are the only people who can fulfill the wish of our master. Let's do it. Let's put our hands together and see that in times to come, we succeed in doing, because success is already there. I remember Bhagwan saying many times that the golden age is already there. It is for you to realize that it is existing, because Bhagwan has already done his job, which he has to do. Because God doesn't depend upon man to fulfill his dream. He only gives us an opportunity to be a part of his dream, which is fulfilled. Jai Sai Ram. Thank you.
Thank you, Sri Nimesh Pandya, for such an energizing and inspiring talk. You not only gave us a good insight into environmental initiatives taking place in India, but you reminded us of many timely messages and inspired us that it all starts with the individual. For in the end, the five elements, will still prevail, but it is us as mankind that need to save ourselves with the divine grace of our Bhagavan. We now move to looking at our opportunity for action. From inspiration to action will be Ms. Shruti Vijaya Kumar, who is a young adult from New Zealand, having had the privilege of being born into a Sai family and growing up with Swami as her dear friend and guide. She has served in various capacities in the organization, including being the former National Young Adult Coordinator for New Zealand, and currently sits on the International Environmental Committee. Shruti is passionate about bringing spirituality and human values into business. She is currently completing her MBA at the University of Oxford. She has previously worked as a management consultant, led several social and environmental projects, and runs her own coaching and facilitation business. Sister Shruti has also been recognized as a global shaper by the World Economic Forum for her leadership and contributions to the community. Dear brothers and sisters, please join me in welcoming Sister Shruti Vijaya Kumar to the front.
To my dearest friend, the one who is always listening, always watching, always guiding, and always inspiring. My dearest Swami, I offer all my love and my gratitude to you. Distinguished guests, revered elders, brothers, sisters, and my fellow young adults, Om Shri Sai Ram. What a privilege and pleasure it is to be here with you at this first ever Go Green conference. A few years ago, I was at a Sai Young Adult retreat in New Zealand. One evening, we took our picnic blankets and our instruments down to the beach, laid them out on the sand, and began singing bhajans to our Divine Swami. Half an hour must have passed, and I remember looking up at the sky and seeing reds, oranges, yellow, purples, pinks, all the colors in our divine artist's palette streaked across the sky. It was so beautiful. And just after this, the sun gracefully set into the hills behind us. We kept singing, and I looked out at the vast Pacific Ocean in front of me. I saw this faint glow in the water. I was confused. What could this be? And in the moments that followed, a beautiful golden orb, a golden ball, emerged from the water. It was the first time in my life witnessing the rise of a full moon. What a darshan! A golden light streaked across the water. And just when you think things could not be more beautiful, our beloved Swami, of course, shows off just a little more. And across the sky, tens, hundreds, eventually thousands of stars revealed themselves. In that moment, I felt such awe, such reverence, such peace, such love, such humility in front of our dear Swami and his manifestation in our creation. Mahatma Gandhi, the father of this nation, has a beautiful quote where he says, "When I see the beauty of a sunset or the wonder of a full moon, my heart, my soul expands in worship for the Creator." That, my brothers and sisters, is the feeling that I had in my heart that night, and one I've strived to keep ever since. Nature for me has been a beautiful vehicle through which I've been able to get to know Swami, love Him, and hopefully grow a little bit closer to Him. Whether it be the beautiful stars stretched across the sky like that night, which teach me humility, remind me of the insignificance of my problems when they're feeling really big. Whether it be the vast, expansive ocean, which reminds me of my own vastness, teaches me to dream bigger, see possibility where I otherwise may not. Or whether it just be the simple flower, which only blooms when ready, teaching me patience, whenever I get excited about something, I want to rush into it. I want to see it happen. And these flowers have been one of my biggest teachers in the last 2 years. Nature sustains me, cultivates me, nurtures me, loves me. It's been one of the beautiful aspects of this human and spiritual experience we have on earth. Yet, as a society, I feel like we've lost touch with Swami in nature. Our relationship with nature has become transactional. It's become something that we buy and sell like land, something that we extract and consume, that we use and that we pollute, nearly always for our own self-interest, for our own profits, driven by our own greed, forgetting that Swami is part and parcel of this majestic creation, that we are part of this creation. And it's funny, you know, because on one hand, it is our love for Swami that brings us together here in Prashanthi Nilayam, that binds us as his devotees. Whenever we do something for Swami, we offer everything to him. I can think about offerings that I've been a part of. When we've sung to Swami, we practice for months, sometimes for years. Every little thing we do, from the invitation card to the flower we give, there's so much thought and care put into each detail just to please him. And yet, we forget that this very same Swami exists in nature. It is he who is eating the plastic bags. It is he who is breathing the polluted air. It breaks my heart. And at a scale, as a collective, the planet is really suffering. Brother Manfred just told us how every hour, 1,000 football fields worth of forests are being cut down. Do you know what the biggest driver of this is? These trees are being cut down to farm cattle to meet our global demand, our global desire for meat and dairy products like milk and cheese. Every day we're using plastic, it's wrapped across our foods, and always, when we throw this out, it doesn't break down for hundreds of years. It ends up in our oceans. There's a plastic soup the size of Texas sitting in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, destroying sea life. Just this week in Japan, the temperatures have crossed 40 degrees. There is a heat wave that has been declared a natural disaster. It is clear that the earth has lost her balance, and it is due to our collective thoughts and actions. But it's not like there aren't solutions to this. In fact, business leaders, political leaders, organizations are coming together in a way that I have never seen before to come up with solutions to this environmental crisis. Governments are thinking, what if we tax businesses for their pollution? Businesses are trying to come up with new technologies, putting money into things that might be able to extract plastic from our ocean. But all of these solutions just haven't been enough. Just look at the state of our world today. And in this time where world leaders are seeking and searching for solutions, I feel so grateful that you and I know our Swami and have access to his eternal wisdom. Swami has told us that true change only happens when we change. The external pollution we see is just a reflection of our inner pollution. We have to get out of the mindset that the problem is out there and the solution is out there in some technology, some government, and some business, and realize the problem is in here and the solution starts with us. Brothers and sisters, it's empowering because you and I literally hold in our hands the opportunity to change the situation. Swami goes one step further. He gives us the solution, and it's so simple. Sealing on desires, COD. If each of us was simply to buy less, use less, consume less, throw away less, we would experience a double reward. On one hand, greater peace, contentment, fulfillment, and on the other hand, our planet would be much healthier. And Swami has been the most ultimate example and role model for us. We heard some examples from Dr. Reddy yesterday morning, how when Swami left the interview room, he turned off the light and fan at the exact same time to not even waste 1 second of energy. When he washed his face, he turned off the tap as soon as he could, sometimes getting soap in his eyes, to not even waste a single drop of water. When he was younger, he barely owned two pairs of clothing. Brothers and sisters, I think I brought more clothes with me for 1 week in Prashanthi Nilayam. Now, I know it's one thing to quote Swami, to share his life, to quote his examples, and something else to put this into practice, particularly in the society that we live today. Everywhere we look, there's advertisements, buy this house, buy this car, have this brand. If you have this stuff, you will be happy. It's the message we receive from all forms of media. And so it's more important than ever that we begin to put Swami's teachings into practice. If not us, who is going to be the ambassadors of his message at this time where the world is crying out for solutions? Now, when it comes to acting sustainably, I feel like there are two options we have. Path A is the first option. Now, path A is simple, it's easy, it's doing what we've always done, it's doing what everyone else is doing. It's probably the option that we follow most of the time. And path B, now this is interesting. Path B is going against the grain, doing what others are not doing, doing the thing that's different. It often takes effort, it often takes courage. And more often than not, I found in my life, path B is the path that aligns with Swami's teachings and the life he lived. So how can we put path B into practice? Let me give you a couple of examples. My first job coming out of my undergrad studies was working in consulting in Australia. I was a little graduate, and we used to have these big team dinners all the time with my team and with our client. They were lavish, 5-course meals, and naturally, at the end of these meals, there'd be a lot of food waste. Most of my colleagues would leave the restaurant not even looking at the waste. We were busy working, we were traveling the next day. This was not our problem. But I would insist that after every meal, I would collect not only mine, but the waste of others, and either have it myself or find someone to give it to. I could not even waste a little bit, despite my colleagues thinking I was a bit silly, a bit odd. Not only that, in other dinners, I would insist on going to my car, collecting a container, bringing it in, and getting the restaurant to serve the food into my container, not their disposable throwaway container. Literally, these friends were thinking, why do you even bother? What difference does it make? It's not your problem. But weeks later, brothers and sisters, I sat with the same colleagues and friends. We ordered a meal. There was a lot of food, and one of my colleagues said, do you think this is too much food? Should we order less? And another one said, even if it's too much, I have a container in my bag. We won't waste it. Here in India, I was living here a couple of years ago, and I went on a hike with my cousin in Pune. We had joined a big group from her university and hiked up this beautiful mountain in Maharashtra. We got to the top, the view was stunning, and one of the leaders of the group prepared a fire and started cooking dinner for us. He then served us dinner on these paper plates, and we sat there and enjoyed this beautiful meal in the stunning venue, stunning location. At the end of the meal, the students around us dropped their plates on the ground without a second thought. I asked my cousin, why are they putting their plates on the ground? She said, there's no bin, it's what we do. I said, but how can we? Look at how beautiful this place is. She said, other people have done it as well. I'm not going to carry this plate with us, it's dirty. What do you expect us to do? I couldn't leave the plate, so I started holding onto my plate, thinking about how I could carry it back down this mountain. Not only that, I felt compelled to pick up the plates of the others. My cousin asked me, why do you bother? I said, I have to. Look at this place, how can we pollute it? So she joined me, and then a few more friends, and then a few more students, and before we knew it, this hike up this mountain had turned into a spontaneous park cleanup seva, where we not only picked up all of our plates, but cleaned up all the rubbish in this area. Dear brothers and sisters, it takes courage to follow B. In those moments, as that young graduate, I just didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to speak up. It would have been easy to walk away and forget about the food, but I felt I had to. At that park, it would have been easy to not go to the effort of collecting this rubbish, but I felt I really had to. Swami was guiding me too. So in the same way, how can each and every one of us have the courage to continue to pursue this path B, the one of courage and the one that our Swami has followed? If each of us can just take one simple action. One of the most recent things I did back home in New Zealand is just setting up a compost bin in my house. so that when we produce food scraps from all our cooking, rather than letting it end up in the garbage creating more pollution, we put it in our compost bin so it turns into nutritious soil for our garden. Maybe it's as simple as choosing to ride your bike despite how cold and windy and rainy it is, because you know this is better for our air, for our Swami in our air. Or maybe it's as simple as, even though it's hot, and even though that ice cream would be so nice, or that cheese would be so delicious, having a bit less dairy, knowing that dairy is one of the biggest contributors to deforestation. Brothers and sisters, I truly believe that each one of us are doing a lot already, but can do more to truly live Swami's teachings in our daily life. But I don't think it ends there. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe it is any coincidence that each one of us is gathered here in this divine abode today. We have been handpicked by our divine master to be leaders of the message. This is the first Go Green Conference, not the 10th, and we are the ones that he has chosen to start this. Whether you planned your trip last minute, whether it's been 6 months in the making, whether you thought you'd be here or not, whatever the reason, we're here for a reason, and I believe we have a responsibility and an opportunity to be the leaders of Swami's message in our homes, in our organizations, in our communities, in our workplaces, and in our societies at large. Imagine if we could be the ones that transform Prashanthi Nilayam, every samiti in India, every center around the world, to not produce any waste, to go fully renewable, to really reflect in and out Swami's teachings. We have to be the ones that lead this. Taking this one step further, I think it's so beautiful that we have gathered here for this occasion. And I really see this as Swami planting the seeds. In the last 2 years, so much has happened by way of going green. We've heard about the solar projects. Uncle Nimish gave us many beautiful examples. We'll hear more this evening. This is all great, but I think it was just Swami cultivating the land, just getting started. Now he has planted the seeds through each one of us that have been chosen and gathered here today. And when we leave this conference, it is going to be up to us to water these seeds, to nurture them, to cultivate these plants through our love for Swami, through our love for his presence and his majesty in nature, and through our actions every single day. And if we can do this, I truly believe, brothers and sisters, that these seedlings can grow into beautiful trees that will truly transform our world. At this time where the world is crying out for solutions, we can transform it and make our lives his message. Om Sairam.
Parvati Nandana Gajanana, Parvati Nandana Gajanana, Parvati Nandana Gajanana. Gajanana Mushika Vahana Gajanana Mushika Vahana Gajanana Mushika Vahana Gajanana Mudaka Hatta Gajanana
Sai Guru, Mola Sai Guru,
Sai Guru,
Mola Sai Guru,
Nanak Sai Bolo, Govind Sai Bolo, Bola 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 Sai Bolo, Ram Hari Hari Ram Bolo, Guru Baba. Guru Baba, Vidyadayaka Guru Baba, Vidyadayaka Guru Baba, Prashanta Swarupa Guru Baba. Shanta Swarupa Guru Baba, Guru Vara Guru Vara Guru Baba, Guru Vara Guru Vara Guru Baba, Guru Baba Guru Baba. Vidyadayaka Guru Baba, Prashanta Swarupa Guru Baba, Guru Vara Guru Vara Guru Baba, Guru Vara Guru Vara Guru Baba. Swami Satya Sai Hare, Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka, Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka, Pati Maheshwara, Om Jai Jagadishare, Shiva Jana Shekara, Sarva Pranapate, Swami Sarva Pranapate, Ashrita Kalpalatika, Ashrita Kalpalatika, Apatpandava, Om Jai Jagadishare. Mata Pita Guru Daivamu, Mariyantayunive, Swami Mariyantayunive, Nada Brahma Jagannatha, Nada Brahma Jagannatha, Naginda Shayana, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. Omkara Rupa Ojasvi Sai Mahadeva, Satya Sai Mahadeva, Mangala Arati Andhoko, Mangala Arati Andhoko, Mangala Gitai, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana Narayana Om Om Jai Satguru Deva. Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana 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 Om Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana Narayana. Om Jai Sadguru Deva Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana 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 Om Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana Narayana Om Satya Narayana Narayana Om Jai Sadguru Deva Om Shanti 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 Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavanto Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavanto Samasta Lokaha Sukhino Bhavanto Om Shanti 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 Jai Bolo Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba Ji Ki Jai